Well, good morning, Crown. I can't see any of you. It's like the Shekinah glory here. I'm sure you look great. Well, I want you to know that my job title is district superintendent, but that's not who I am. I spent the last 25 years developing leaders around the country, and that's really who I am. My job title says one thing. My passion is to develop leaders, and that's the reason I'm here today. Because as I was thinking about this opportunity and the time I would give to it, I was thinking of you. And I recognize that you're in a critical place in your journey, an incredibly critical place. And so I actually had some difficulty deciding what I was going to do in this time with you, because normally in a chapel service, we would take time to dig into the Word of God and pull some pieces apart and give some application. And Bill and I talked about a couple of different options. And I've opted to go to a different direction today. I want you to know I love God and I love His Word, but we're going to spend less time in His Word today because I have a few minutes to download some things that I think might be valuable for you in this journey. In 1992, April of 1992, yes, that was about the dawn of the internet, and no, there were not still dinosaurs running around on the planet. Some of you, well, most of you, don't even know what it's like to not have the internet. I used to have to type some of my papers on a typewriter. I know. It's as shocking and awesome as it sounds. 1992 in April. I had 2 months left in my junior year in college, a college much like this, and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. Junior year, no idea. Now, nobody knew that, and I would never have said that out loud, not even to my closest friends, because part of the image is to pull it all together in college and at least look like you know where you're going. But I had no idea, just between you and I. I was a mediocre student. I won't tell you my GPA because you don't need to know. But it wasn't good. I had just broken up with my longtime girlfriend, I think for the second time that year. Is that right, honey? We broke up more than those two times, but we married in the end. I was beginning to doubt my career choice and my degree choice. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience in your college journey, but I'm hoping that all of you are much more mature than I am, and you have your life all figured out, you know exactly where you're going, and you're perfectly happy in your degree choice. But just in case you're like me, I want you to know you're not alone. Many of us have been on that part of the journey where you get most of the way through college and you're beginning to think, what in the world have I done? I was also 2 months away from the end of my junior year, and I was a little bit terrified by the notion of adulthood. Now, we didn't use the term adulting back when dinosaurs roam the earth, but it's a great term. Having my own life, managing my own life, I was a bit of a mess, so I'm trusting that none of you were where I was. But I was a bit of a mess. Right at that moment in my life, what I needed more than anything else was for somebody to come alongside me. I look back and I realize now that what I needed was somebody to take me out to coffee. And to sit me down and say, Dan, you're a mess. You're an idiot. They needed to sit me down and help me understand how to live life successfully. I probably at that point in my life also needed a swift kick in the behind. But that's a different topic and that would take too long. I didn't have anybody to do that for me. I was completely alone. Because of the decisions my parents had made in their career and other reasons, I was in college and completely alone. Now, I know that it's possible to be in a group like this all year long, being fed and nurtured by some great profs, and still be completely alone. What I needed in that moment was somebody to come alongside and say, hey, here's some great insights for you as you live life. So over the last 20 years, I've been writing down things to help me live life effectively and to help leaders. And I get the opportunity to train leaders around the country and to speak in a variety of situations, companies and churches and all kinds of different things. And I've used some of these, but this is the first time I've ever downloaded this content for any group. And there's a reason, because I believe in what you're doing and where you're headed. So in these next moments, I want to share with you things I've written down over the last 20 years to help you live a successful life and to walk a successful journey. Someday I'll hand these off to my children, but every single day I read these to make sure that I'm headed the right direction. So here we go. You may find them helpful. You may want to just check out your iPhone. I'm hoping that you'll find it helpful. Number one, 10 lessons that will help us live a life of impact. The first lesson is that the distance between where you are right now, and for most of us in this room, you're in your 20s, you're figuring out life, you know some things, but there's a lot yet to learn, and you're here, and you can see the future ahead of you. It spans out in front of you, but you have no idea what's going to happen. And the distance between where you are now and who you want to be is paved with discipline. And some of you hate that word. Proverbs chapter 12 tells us, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. I hate discipline. I have not become spiritually mature enough to love discipline yet. I'll be honest with you, and I'm 50. So I'm hoping I get there by the time I'm 60. Discipline is the most critical piece in becoming the person that God wants you to become and having a life of impact. There is no part of your life that is not governed by disciplines. How you treat other people is a function of your disciplines. How you do your work is a function of your disciplines. Whether you brush your teeth in the morning is a function of your disciplines, and I hope you all did. The distance between where you are now and where you want to be is paved with discipline. This might be the most important thing I say today, and if you don't listen to anything else, this one will take you a long way. Number two, this one's a little tough. You're completely responsible for your relationship with God. None of your professors are responsible for your relationship with God. You get the luxury of coming to Crown College at this time and at this place with a great group of profs who are doing everything they can to help you engage with God. But in the end, friends, your relationship with God is completely on you. And the reason I want you to know that is that when you leave this place, you're going to find that you have leaned heavily on the incredible supportive arms of people like Bill and all of your profs in this place, and you're going to discover that you may not have taken full ownership of your relationship with God. And here's the deal. In any given day, if you get to the end of it and you have acted like God is dead, I want you to know that that is completely a reflection of how you feel about God. Don't let anybody fool you. I'm not going to let you off. If you've gone through the day without being in relationship with God, it's because you didn't want a relationship with God. That's how relationships work. We engage what we value. Friends, we desperately need a generation of people who fully embrace and own a passion for Jesus Christ. There's far too many mediocre people with mediocre relationships with God in the world, and I get to bump into a lot of them. And I am begging you to not be those people. We desperately need the leaders that come out of Crown College to have this one completely wrapped up. Thirdly, as somebody who leads leaders all the time, I want you to know that you're completely responsible for the results you get in your life. Nobody's responsible to get your work done, manage your time, or achieve significant things. And one of the things that I did extremely well when I was your age, in fact, I'm still pretty good at it, is blame other people when I don't do what I should do. Anybody else? You're all more mature than I am, I'm sure. Blaming people is a very common occurrence. Somehow somebody else is responsible for how I've behaved. And as adults who are getting ready to go out into the world, I want you to know that nobody is responsible for your life but you. If you don't get your work done, don't blame anybody else. You say, Dan, you're just mean. Tell Bill to never invite me back, and I'll never say things like this again to you. Lesson number 4. This one's a little tougher in this generation, but you're completely responsible for your emotional state and for your relationships today. My dear friends, who I'm just beginning to get to know, I want you to know that you live in a culture that's telling you that your emotional state is somebody else's responsibility. And that's a lie. That is a lie. Nobody is responsible to make you feel good, to bring joy to your life. People will offend you. They will be unkind. Your families, I'm going to guess your family's as weird as mine. There's weird people in your family. There's people that you get to hang around that bug you. And in the end, you're still responsible for your emotional state. The travesty is that when you begin to believe what is so common out there today, that other people are there to make you happy, and that you have the right to be offended if somebody says something that you don't like, you begin to put other people in control of your life. And those other people do not care about your life the way you do. So I want to urge you, as young people in this generation, take full responsibility for your emotions and how you interact with other people. Correlated with that is lesson number 5 that I want to leave you today, is that if you live your life based on the opinion of others, you're going to waste an awful lot of time. It's tougher in this generation because there's so many things that connect us to other people. And you have, in many ways, beautiful technology that is extremely helpful, but in some ways extremely damaging. Because you have constant access to what other people are doing all the time, and you have the ability to measure yourself against what other people are doing at all times, and even without knowing it, you begin to adopt the view that your value is based upon what other people are doing and how they feel about what you're doing. And in the end, that's going to be a tremendous mistake. I run into leaders that struggle with this all the time. They need people to like them so desperately that they end up doing stupid things to get attention, to be liked. Friends, I want you to hear me. Needing people to like you actually indicates that you lack a sense of personal conviction about who you are, of your values, and of your purpose. And I want to encourage you to establish those things now. The reason I'm here, friends, taking this time this morning is because I know what hangs in the balance for you. The next 5 years are going to shape your world and your life in ways that you can't imagine. And it's in these days I want to encourage you to set in stone a set of personal convictions about who you are and how you do life, what you value, and a sense of personal purpose. Because when you leave here, and even now, that will shield you from this need to constantly have people like your latest tweet, or give you a heart or a like on Instagram, or I know none of you do Facebook, but do you know what I'm saying to you? Lesson number 6. You're completely responsible to find what God's plan for what you will accomplish with your life and then work your tail off to accomplish it. Even here at Crown, friends, nobody's going to hand you God's mission for you in the world. You need to find it. All of you in this room, I know this about you without even having met you. All of you have been called and gifted by God to make an impact on this generation of people. You are here in this time, in this place in history, because God has something he wants you to do. And it is your responsibility to find out what that is. With partnership. That's why you have incredible partnership here at Crown. Dig into that. Talk to as many of your profs as you possibly can and figure this one out. Here's the greatest, let me segue to something different for just a minute. I was a little nervous this morning. I woke up thinking about this time, and I never get nervous when I speak anymore because I speak so often. And I realized this morning that what I was feeling was that I understood what hung in the balance for you right now. You're at such a critical moment. I thought to myself, this is incredibly important. This moment in your journey is incredibly important. And if you don't make the right choices right now, you're going to do what so many people I work with around the country have done. They get to a point in their life and realize that they have lived a life that has no significance. My longing for you is that when you get to the end of your life, you look back on this array of impact, on lives that have been changed. Because of what you did, because of what you said, because of your kindness, because of the decisions that you made. Seven, you will be tempted today to do things when you feel like it. And I want to remind you that only children and amateurs do things when they feel like it. The rest of the world, professionals and adults, do things because they're important. And if you establish what's important, what I just said a minute ago, it will drive you to do things when you don't feel like doing them. The vast majority of your life exists in this place where I don't want to do it, but I know I should do it. To have a successful marriage, and some of you are headed that direction, to get married, I want you to know that a secret to a great marriage is that you do things that you sometimes don't want to do, or say things you don't want to say, or check your attitude when you don't want to check it, because you know how important it is. Some of you are going to have children someday. I know that's scary, isn't it? It's out there. Someday there will be children in your lives. And the vast majority of parenting lives in that space of doing stuff you don't want to do. Trust me, you do not want to change a diaper. I don't want to scare you, but my first one, it was impressive. I've had my children pee on me. You're like, oh, that's terrible. It's not that bad. It's a weird thing that God does. It actually makes you, God makes you love your children, and you put up with stuff like that. But I want you to know that much of your life lives in that place where you do it even when you don't feel like it. Lesson number eight. Excellence is a choice and a discipline. I mentioned to you at the beginning of our talk today that I was a mediocre student. And I spent the next 5 years being a mediocre person. I know what mediocre feels like and looks like. And I want you to know that the only path that will give you anything you want in life is a choice to pursue excellence. And that is a choice that you make every day when you wake up. There's a reason that I read, there's actually 16 of these that I read every day, because I need a reminder every day that life is about excellence. And if I don't choose it, I'm going to be in trouble. The other challenge that didn't exist when I was your age, that you have in this day and age, is that the number of TV shows and other things that we get exposed to give us the impression that we can become great without a lot of effort. And I want you to know that it's going to take a lot of effort for you to be amazing at what God's called you to do. Many of you know that because you're here at Crown and you're working your tails off to get good grades, to get through Crown. I want to invite you to choose excellence. Because it matters. The world desperately needs it. Number nine. I want to encourage you to be a great friend today. It's always been tough to be a good friend and make good friends. because every single one of us in this room are selfish. Did I just offend you? I'm sorry. That's true. You're selfish and I'm selfish. When we engage other people, we bring our selfishness with us. And being a great friend is a choice that we have to make. I want to encourage you to be a great friend to everybody you meet. And an incredibly intimate friend with a few. True friends are going to be people who will tell you, like I'm doing today, tough things that you need to know so that you can be successful in life. My best friends are the people who will tell me things I don't want to hear. Do you have friends like that? I hope you do. And I hope you cherish them. Because if they do it in a way that's loving, it's because they care about you. We live in a day and age that many of us have lost, are losing the ability to pay attention when we're having a relationship with somebody else. And our iPhone, I love my iPhone, by the way. I'm deeply addicted to it. But that little device does more to hinder my relationships than almost anything else in my life. We've lost the ability to sit across from somebody and look them in the eye and pay attention long enough to have a great relationship. To ask great questions. If you're going to be a great friend, I want to encourage you to learn to ask questions and be curious about other people. I observe that we're losing that capacity nowadays. I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and I observed a table full of young and old people. So I'm not picking on young people. This is as prevalent in people my age as it is in people your age. Four people sitting around the table, none of them talking to each other, all on their phone. I don't indict the phone. It's a problem. Lesson number 10 and our last one today is that in this journey that you're on, you're going to fail. If you've not figured that out already, I'm sorry that I'm shocking you with this news. But you're going to fail, and here's the better part of that story is it's okay. Especially at this stage in your journey, I want you to fail a lot. I want you to fail big. I want you to fail in all the ways necessary to become great at what God wants you to do. Some of you in this room are afraid of failure, and so you're not doing things that you're scared of because you don't want to look bad, or you don't want to stumble, or you don't want to look like a failure. Failure is the pathway to everything that you're going to be great at. In fact, let's just pause for a second and think about this. Everything you've ever become good at, you failed at first. When you started walking, you probably don't remember, but you fell a lot. When you started eating, you had food everywhere. You didn't even know how to go to the bathroom when you were a young kid. In relationships, how many times did you fail in relationships before you got good at it? When you started driving, how many times did you hit the curb? Hopefully you didn't hit anybody. But everything you've ever become great at, you failed at first. So I want to encourage you, especially at this stage in your journey, that you would fail. Try things you've never tried before. Engage relationships you've never had before. Go places you've never gone before and be willing to embrace the idea that you won't be perfect. And you will discover greatness in that path. Well, Bill will probably never have me back, so this is my opportunity to share some thoughts with you. I hope they're helpful. 1992, I wish somebody had pulled me aside, sat me down, said, Dan, if you will apply these principles, you will become impactful. I don't know if I would have listened because I was a knucklehead. I was proud. I was stupid. But I'm hoping that today some of these help you, that you're able to take some of this and apply it to your life. If nothing else, read these every day and try to apply them. I want you to know that I do that every day because I'm still a bit of a knucklehead. I want you to know how much I long for you to be successful. And often when I'm coming to work, I'll pray for you on my way here because I know God is doing something amazing in this place. And he's going to do it through you. And so much hangs in the balance in these days as you make great decisions. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you. We don't love you well. We don't love you as much as we should, but we're trying. Lord, I pray for each of my friends in this room, some who I've met and some who I've not. I pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, use anything that's been said this morning to say what you want to say. And I pray that you would anoint this generation of Crown College students for a life of impact and world change. Even today, I pray that your anointing would fall on us as we go out into this day. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.